a very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Max Radio. I'm Howard Kane, sounding a bit lower than usual, it has to be said. And a pleasure to have your company. What have we got? How about a bit of the genius of Art Tatum? We'll have a little retrospective over the next week or two of Carol Gibbons. Some George Melly, no less. And to start us off, let's get all sentimental with Tommy Dorsey.
Thank you.
Really is lovely, that recording, isn't it? I must admit, it's a great way to get the show going. It's a slower one. We quite often start up-tempo, don't we? But it just, I don't know, felt right this evening. Don't ask me why. It's the way these things work. Don't ask me why I sound a little bit like Barry White this evening as well. I suspect it's a bit of the lurgy, as we say here on the Isle of Man, which has been doing the rounds, as we equally say here at Manx Radio, with several of my colleagues here being poorly, or indeed not here at all of late. So, fingers crossed, being of a generation where it's all stiff upper lips and keep battling on, then we'll do exactly that. And hopefully, if you hear a loud bang and the creaking of a chair at some stage, call for help. But hopefully we'll be fine. Great sound, that, though, isn't it? It really is. I love the orchestration. Brilliant trombone work as well from Tommy Dorsey, from a Masters of Jazz collection of his music. In the early years, of course, Tommy, equally well known, was both a trumpet and trombone player. You don't think about that, really, do you? You always think of him on the old bone. And he did lots of hot trumpet work in the 1920s, following, of course, his elder brother, Jimmy. And by the 1930s, Tommy was one of the most successful freelance radio and recording artists going on the trombone with, well, yeah, we heard it there, wonderful tone, beautiful, smooth style on the ballads, exactly what we heard there. I'm Getting Sentimental of You, first recorded in September of 1932, just by a pickup recording group under the Dorsey brothers. And in 1935, when Tommy then left Jimmy to form his own band, so you had the Tommy Dorsey and Jimmy Dorsey bands, from the remnants of a Joe Haynes orchestra, it became, of course, his theme for the rest of his time when he was playing there. And who did he have with the Dorsey Orchestra? Well, again, a who's who of some of the names, best names in the business at the time. Bunny Berrigan, Pee Wee Earman, Charlie Spivak, Yank Lawson, Charlie Shaver, Ziggy Elman, Buddy DeFranco, my old friend Bud Freeman, Joe Bushkin, Dave Tuff, Louis Belson at the drums, and singers such as Frank Sinatra, Joe Stafford. But yeah, it goes on and on and on, really. Wonderful stuff. The brothers did get back together, of course. They famously used to row like nobody's business, from all accounts. And they did get back together in 1952 to form the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, mostly headed up by Tommy, but Jimmy featuring prominently there. And I must admit, I must take a look at this, it's bound to be on YouTube. I'm sure I've heard of this before, but I don't remember it today, I must admit, when I'm just reading it. And they went to real national publicity in the mid-1950s, just for a year or so, 55, 56, through their very own Dorsey's television programme, Stage Show, on CBS. I don't know how I remember that. Well, I wasn't in the States, clearly. I must have heard about that before, but I'm going to take a look on YouTube at some stage. It's bound to be. Everything's on YouTube, isn't it? So there must be a bit of the Dorsey Brothers television show from the 50s. You can go into the same if you like. Not until the end of the programme, of course. Of course. It was a beautiful day earlier on today, I must admit, after what seems to have been endless weeks. I shouldn't grumble because I was away in Australia in January and February, but since I've been back, all it seems to have been is wind, rain, mist, mist, wind, rain, or a combination of those, with added fog or even more wind or rain or drizzle. Just does get you down after a while, doesn't it? So to see a beautiful crystal blue sky when I was driving into work this morning, I thought, it just lifts the heart, doesn't it? I didn't see a blue sky one, but I spotted this. It's probably the wrong colour, buttermilk, but it's got to be something nice, hasn't it? Alan Dean, Ambrose, Old Buttermilk Sky.
My eye peeled on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can just depend on you. Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight, keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Old buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post, hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try, don't tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight, buttermilk sky?
Alan Dean with Ambrose and the Boys. Buttermilk sky. Yes, buttermilk, I'm assuming, is a sort of yellowy sky, a sort of golden yellow sky, I'm guessing. And to be fair, that's entirely the wrong colour. But it was just the first sky tune I could think of, or popped up when I was looking in the bag. And so, why not? Because it was beautiful sky this morning coming in. I just thought, wow, yes, I felt so much brighter and breezier and more full of joie de vivre, seeing a beautiful blue sky and not too much wind in the scale of things. In any case, Alan Dean, of course, sang with Jack Wallace, Harry Rose, Ambrose, as we heard him there, Oscar Raban, Harry Leader, Frank Weir, on and on he went. In the late 40s, he had a short-lived bebop band of his own, which included, on tenor sax, none less a personage than Ronnie Scott, who famously opened a jazz club, which happens to still be there. Not in the original place, but it's still there, still going strong, and was revamped a few years ago. If you haven't been, do yourself a favour. It's very gentrified these days. In the old days, it did used to be a bit sort of, you know, Soho gangster-esque, I always thought, but now it's all, hello, sir, yes, let Xavier show you to your table. And in the scale of things, I'm not saying it's cheap, but bearing in mind it's in the heart of Soho in London, it's not bad, and the food's good too, so, and some great music. So yeah, go and check it out the next time you're down there. Ronnie Scott on tenor. He was also, by the way, Alan Dean, a member of the Keynote singing group. And then later on, I don't know if he came back, but he emigrated out to the States. I think he stayed there, but I could be wrong. I frequently am. And if you think I'm wrong, or if you think I'm right, or if you think anything about the show, get in touch. Always love to hear from you. Chatting to Paul Quine the other day, I know who's a regular. Hello to you, Paul. Send in a request sometime, Paul. Why not? I should have asked you while I was we were having a chat in the reception, really, shouldn't I? If there's anything you'd like to hear. But if there's anything you'd like to hear, or thoughts, or, you know, things you'd like or not like, drop us a line. howardcaine@manxradio.com is the email, because the fastest way, and frankly, that's the one that most people seem to use these days, isn't it? Dead easy. However, a nice card or a letter never goes amiss and feels very personal. And I know our friend John, a friend of the show, is a regular doing that on with lovely cards, always carefully thought. And a joy to read, John. So if you fancy that, in any case, wonderful. Howard at Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas in the Isle of Man, of course. Where else? And that all-important postcode, IM15BW. Thank you. character fading away there at the end. Art Tatum, the piano genius at the keyboard, and certainly one of the old maestro's all-time favourite pianists. Art Tatum and Errol Garner, I think, are up there, along with George Shearing, and indeed the man we're featuring later on, Carol Gibbons. But I think it was either Art or Errol, he reckoned, were his two absolute favourites. And yeah, that was more sort of mellow side of Art Tatum. And all the more amazing when you think he was blind. I mean, I wouldn't be able to play like that if I practiced for 20 years with two good eyes, but amazing stuff, as so many of the artists we feature here on Sweet and Swing are, of course, including this man, a hot favourite, and we've been playing him off and on, a little mini-retrospective, so this is the last, for now, it's only for now, of Major Glenn Miller. Early Glenn Miller at that, it has to be said, isn't it? You'd barely recognise him there. Bonnie Berrigan taking trumpet solo. Glenn Miller, Jack Jenny. Johnny Mintz was there as well on the clarinet. Eddie Miller on the tenor. And Claude Thornhill, great favourite of mine, who went on to inspire Miles Davis and through that went on to inspire pretty much every musician you can think of, jazz-wise at least. It's amazing how it all links together one way or another, isn't it? A terrific sound, that one. Have we got a recording date on that? No, we haven't, by the looks of it. Not a direct date. Suffice to say, it's going to be somewhere, I'd imagine, around about 1935, 1936, hearing the sound of it, and you'd barely recognise the Glenn Miller, full, mature Glenn Miller sound of the Glenn Miller Orchestra of later on. None the worse for that, though, it has to be said. Tis Sweet and Swing, H with you through until the top of the hour. Beautiful to have your company, as always, and again, drop us a line anytime. HowardCain@manxradio.com. Far Away Club, it ticks away in the background. It was very active a year or two back and then has been pretty dormant of late, so if you're listening via the wonders of the web in somewhere more exotic than Ronig, or indeed, say, Merseyside, not that there's anything wrong with those places, but if you're listening, perhaps, you know, Moravia, or Monaco, or Antarctica, who knows? You could be listening anywhere via the old WW. So if you are listening and enjoying it, or even not enjoying it, drop us a line just to say where you are and get a mention. Perhaps choose a tune as well to celebrate the fact that you're listening far away from where we're based here on the Isle of Man in the Irish Sea with Manx Radio. Jack Duval, Jazz aux Champs-Élysées. There's a collection of these when I was sorting through the old Maestro's records when we sort of took some up here. There was some, I think, probably came from my sister who has been living in either France or Europe for the last 40 years or more. Jazz in Paris, Gitan series. Good stuff they are too. And this is, like I said, just called Jazz in Paris, featuring Jack Duval. And what will we have? How about The Man I Love?
Thank you.
Very nice too. Nice little bit of brushwork going on there. The radio programme Jazz aux Champs-Élysées. Its claim can boast a place in the record books with a 22-year existence on the French airwaves, known as the Radio Fusion Française in the early days. And the show was handsomely eclectic. That's a great phrase, that. Handsomely eclectic. And in other words, it featured whole loads of different types of music, which is great. It wasn't sort of close. It wasn't a close chop or just featuring a certain type. Jean-Luc Ponty, apparently the wonderful violin player, made his first appearance in or on this programme, Jazz aux Champs-Élysées. Eric Dolphy, the brilliant baritone sax and much underrated genius who died tragically young from ill health. I don't think it was drug related. I think it was just he was very ill with something. Was it kidney or... I can't remember now, but he died at a very young age, I think in his late 30s, very much at his prime. And yeah, and I know he'd moved to France. He did his very last performance on Jazz aux Champs-Élysées. And on that particular one there, we heard Jack Duvel. Well, I'm thinking on, by the way, I made a note just writing it down. I thought, I never said what Art Tatum was playing. He played a track called Chloe, by the way. Chloe, before anyone starts shouting at me. The Man I Love, featuring Jack, of course, on the piano. Great picture on the back of the CD case of him by Rue Jean-Nico, holding or smoking, I don't know, I think it's just a pose rather than smoking, the largest meerschaum pipe I've ever seen. Must hold about 2 pounds of tobacco, I imagine. Don't smoke, children, it's not good for you. But looking very happy about it in any case. Looks like a sort of mad Swiss professor. Jack Duvel on the piano, and Christian Gauss on the drums, Paul Rodré at the bass. And we need a bit of vocals, don't we? Here is something which my wife says to me every 10 years, whether it's true or not. You couldn't be cuter.
You're mighty like a knockout, you're mighty like a rose. I'm sold, I'm hooked, the well-known goose is cooked. You got me, little fella, I'm sunk, I'm gone, I'm hooked. You couldn't be cuter, plus that you couldn't be smarter. Plus that intelligent face, you have a disgraceful charm for me. You couldn't be keener, you look so fresh from the cleaner. You are the little grand slam I'll bring to my family. My ma will show you an album of me that'll bore you to tears. And you'll attract all the relatives we have dodged for years and years. And what'll they tell me? Exactly, what'll they tell me? They'll say you couldn't be nicer,
couldn't be sweeter,
couldn't be better,
couldn't be smarter,
couldn't be cuter, baby, than you are. Exactly.
What'll they tell you?
They'll say you couldn't be nicer, couldn't be sweeter, couldn't be better, couldn't be smoother, couldn't be cuter, baby, than you are.
fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar, it's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose.
That's how you do it. Very nice indeed. Bit of accordion. Can't go wrong with a bit of accordion, can you? First off, in that little twofer of vocalists, of course, we had You Couldn't Be Cuter. What all wives say to all husbands on a regular basis, we feel, may be true in some cases. Al Boley, of course, distinctive. You don't hear that one so often, do you? But a distinctive voice of Al Boley as well. Followed by the wonderful Honeysuckle Rose. A little bit early for Honeysuckle, yet, I dare say. Or Honeysuckle Roses, but still a great track all the same. And that was Jack Simpson and his sextet with Betty Kent taking the vocals. Another perhaps lesser known vocalist, but an interesting character herself. If I tell you perhaps that she was actually born, not Betty Kent, but Elizabeth, Betty, fair enough, Scott Chisholm. Chisholm, yeah, there's a clue. Second cousin to George Chisholm, the wonderful band leader and trombonist. She married the band leader Teddy Foster and later became his singer. Not bad, is it? And then she went on to perform with Jack Payne, Lou Prager, Edgar Jackson, and as we heard there, Jack Simpson. And also appeared, if you cast your minds back, to the 1938 Royal Command performance. I'm sure many of you were there. A little bit before my time. And then after the war, well, she gave up her glittering career, and it was doing very well indeed, but obviously the war caused, well, all sorts of problems, didn't it, for so many people. An awful lot of people didn't survive it. But she didn't get back to her career, sadly, afterwards, and decided to devote herself entirely to their adopted daughter, which was a very noble thing to do. But sadly, and oh gosh, and the number of times we hear this, I don't know whether it's something to do with the artistic demeanour or what it is, but she didn't have a happy end in that, having made this noble decision to look after their adopted daughter and not go back to the stage in her singing career, she then suffered poor health, which led into depression, and ended up taking her own life. It's a very sad ending for, well, a cheery song there, Honeysuckle Rose, and a lovely voice as well. And she was, well, again, there's no, it's a very dark thing, depression, isn't it? And so many people suffer from it, including actually a man coming up in a moment, George Melly. I know he's spoken before now about suffering bouts of depression. However, let's not dwell on that. We're all about the cheery stuff here too much. And, Carol Gibbons. We were talking about Carol Gibbons earlier on, and a great favourite, I consider the old maestro. Features fairly frequently, I think. Oh, we haven't played him for a while, but I was looking at CD Sand in My Shoes with all sorts of great tracks. You Stepped Out of a Dream, Laura, Doing What Comes Naturally. And I thought it'd be nice to do perhaps a little retrospective of two or three tracks over the next few weeks. Can't do better than this. You start with this one. You started something. Well, I have.
Yes, you did, but you didn't even try to. You smiled, and my heart began to fly to the moon. You started something. Yes, you did, but you didn't even know it. And now I'm as wacky as a poet. I believe in fairy tales. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe that dreams come true. I do, because you started something. Yes, you did, but you didn't know what I knew. I knew right away that you were my new romance.
And we have started something. We've started a little retrospective of Carol Gibbons and his orchestra. He was the first band leader to really feature the quiet, sort of melodic brand of music, which went on to become the thing round the West End of London. And it ended up with pretty much every hotel and every restaurant in the West End having a similar sort of sound. It created just the right sort of atmosphere, as you can imagine, for a rather sophisticated evening out. Cocktails, champagne, something lovely to eat and some dancing. What could be better? Well, that's how W.F. Mornis, the Savoy Hotel's entertainment director, summed up Carol Gibbons. He might have been biased, of course, because that's where Carol played. And again, we've oft mentioned Carol's piano, which sadly isn't there anymore, but we're told is in storage. Whether it'll ever see the light of day again, I don't know. Carol himself took over the leadership of the Savoy Orpheans from De Bruy Summers in 1927 and was then linked to the Savoy for the rest of his life. And there is indeed a gold plaque fixed to the grand piano with the inscription, Carol Gibbons played this piano 1926 to 1954. The plaque is still affixed to the piano. The piano, very sadly, wouldn't appear to be still at the Savoy. Next time I go down, I'm going to go back in and ask again to see whether, even if they don't bring the piano back, which I think is pretty unlikely, it would be nice to have the plaque back somewhere, wouldn't it? Just put into a frame somewhere with some explanation about the great Carol Gibbons. Would be nice. Well, I think it would be nice. I suppose maybe now people would say, well, I don't know, who was Carol Gibbons? So many people wouldn't remember, but he was there for so long and was such a formative part of the Savoy in those years that he sort of defined its sound. So it would be nice to have some sort of recognition, wouldn't it? There might be a bar dedicated to him. I don't know. We'll go and take a look. Get a very good lunch there as well. Leslie Douglas taking the vocals on that one. More Carol Gibbons next week. Sand in My Shoes. Good name for the CD, that. George Melly. A very different sort of sound. Another character I did actually meet once or twice. And here he is from the BBC Jazz Club Collection, Volume 1. Doing his stuff on the wonderfully named Ding Dong Daddy from the Dumas.
I'm a Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas. You ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a clean-cut fella from Honest Corner. You ought to see me strut. I'm a caper-cutting cutie, got a gal called Katie. She's a little heavy lady and I calls her baby. Ding-dong, daddy from Dumas, ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas, ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a ping-pong papa from Fitchburg Prairie, you ought to see me strut. I'm a ding-dong daddy, got a whiz-bang baby. She's a bear creep mama and she sure ain't lazy. Ding-dong, daddy from Dumas, ought to see me do my stuff. She's a big blonde baby from Peanut Prairie. Ding dong, daddy from Dumas, ought to see me do my stuff. Oh, ding dong, daddy from Dumas, you ought to see me strut. I'm a peach pie popper from Jackson's Hollow, you ought to see me do my stuff. I'm a honey dripping daddy, got a hot hearted baby, she's a chic shaking sheba and oh, ding dong, daddy from Dumas.
Oh, yes. BBC Jazz Club Volume... Oh, Volume 4. I thought it was Volume 1. Oh, I see. I haven't put my glasses on. Volume 4 it is, not Volume 1. Oh, excuse the BBC. the inimitable George Melly with Mick Mulligan's Magnolia Jazz Band. Mick Mulligan, I told you I haven't got my glasses on. Mick Mulligan on trumpet, Frank Parr on trombone, Ian Christie clarinet, Ronnie Duff at the piano, Neville Scrimshaw guitar, great name, Terry Foster bass, Pete Appleby at the drums, and of course, George Melly at the vocals, of course. Wonderful stuff. There were quite a few of these. I'll have to go and see if the other three volumes are lurking around anywhere. Chances, Volume 4's there, chances are Volumes 1, 2 and 3 might be somewhere in the archives. Yeah, see what we can find in any case. A great character, George Melly, who did appear on The Isle of Man several times, and I had the pleasure of meeting on one or two occasions. And the best story, or one of the best stories, he's got dozens and dozens of stories, in that, of course, two of his passions outside of his career as a singer and band leader and musician was, one was fishing. He was a very, very keen fly fisherman, I think owned a stretch of river somewhere. And he was also an authority on Dadaist art and was an art critic from that point of view. You'd find him doing critiques of art exhibitions and such like in some of the periodicals and papers, Times and such like, I believe. But certainly an authority on Dadaist art. And there was also a Dadaist poet of whom he was very fond, who sort of tried to portray the Dadaist ethos in words. easier said than done, it has to be said. So a lot of this would just consist of vocal sounds. So it would be a whole 5 minutes, 10 minutes or more of poetry. And the leading exponent of this was one Kurt Schwitters, who also has an Alaban link because he was interned here up in around Derby Square, I believe, Kurt Schwitters, after he'd been thrown out by, well, at least he escaped the Nazis, who otherwise, I think, well, I don't like to think about it really, but anyway, he managed to get away from them, but was interned here as an alien and carried on his art here and wrote one piece called the Ur-Sonata, which goes on for several pages. Not a single word you'd recognise amongst them. It all sounds like ee, aye, right, rakatabe, bo, and such like for, again, 15 minutes. George memorised all of this as one of his party pieces, and tells this wonderful story of how he was attacked or mugged one time, or at least they attempted to mug him. He'd been to a gig late night as per, was heading back towards his car or his hotel when he was approached by a youth or two brandishing a knife and sort of basically saying, give us your money, give us your wallet or whatever. And he said, what do I do? A large, gay, rather overweight jazz musician with no armaments and no one to help. So he thought the best thing he could think of was to stand his ground and start reciting the Ur-Sonata at the top of his voice. Pee, bo, ba, rakadebe, and such like. Whereupon they were so completely befuddled and frightened that they ran away. And he says he must be one of the very few people in the world to have escaped being mugged by reciting Dadaist poetry. You can't make that sort of stuff up, it has to be said. Yeah, great ending on that one. Harry Hayes and his band. Let's get acquainted Which is what we like to do here on Sweet and Swing, really, isn't it? Get acquainted. And that's, I like to think you're out there enjoying the music, and I'm in here talking away. But it's always good to know someone's at the other end, somewhere, whether it's via the wonders of wireless or the wonders of the web. Either way, it's always lovely if you ever get in touch to let me know what you're thinking. Howard Kane at manxradio.com. That's Howard, H-O-W-A-R-D, Kane, C-A-I-N-E. And it will get here smartish. Or drop me a line. Howard at Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas Isle of Man. And the postcode is I-M-1-5-B-W. Harry Hayes, he was a bit of a record holder, would you believe? He was an alto saxophonist who played in a lot of the pre-war bands, but made history in 1941 by performing for three different bands, namely George Evans, Geraldo and Johnny Clay's, during the same International Jazz Jamboree. Now there's a record to have. And then he formed his own group in 1945 and played fairly broadly through London West End venues during the next couple of years. Joined Ambrose, but after losing the top spot to one Johnny Dankworth, he left to concentrate on his own music and record shops. Oh, record shops. Where are they now? That's more or less it for another week. But we will be back, undaunted, and hopefully with a better voice. Same time, same place, next week. See you then. Cheerio.